Revelation 13 here this morning. Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to say this again. I have enjoyed my study of the book of Revelation again. I actually, when I started a prophecy series, I actually did not plan on re-preaching through the book of Revelation. I did this 6 years ago in Hawaii. But the more I've been re-studying some of this without following, you know, a dispensational outline of prophecy, There's been things that I've been discovering and noticing in the Bible that I've never seen before. And today I want for us to take a look at identifying the beast. I want for us to identify the beast. Now, C.I. Schofield is quoted from a sermon in 1897. So listen to the year, 1897 in Niagara Falls, to which he said this. Supposedly, he's quoted as saying in this message, this sermon, that he could almost hear the gallop of the man on horseback. Now, let me point out here that that was before there were automobiles, there were motors, all of those kinds of things. So he's looking at it as horseback and so on, so it's very interesting. And of course he was referring to the Antichrist. Now as we look at this passage here, notice with me Revelation 13 verses 1 and following. We'll look at the first part of the chapter here. Let's kind of read down through here. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Now let me remind you, we're not talking about a literal beast that looks like that. We're talking about in prophetic language, it's giving us a description as far as the nature of this beast. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Excuse me. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. All right, so ultimately they're worshiping the devil himself, which is exactly what he's wanted from the beginning. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And notice, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. I want you to notice again, it talks here about, and we're going to see this in the afternoon, Lord willing. Later on, verse 11, it says, "I beheld another beast." Now, if you talk to most people who have followed a dispensational system of prophecy, they will tell you that there's two individuals here. They will say that this is the future Antichrist and false prophet. And what I think is interesting is the term Antichrist cannot be found in the book of Revelation. Right? I've mentioned this before. The term Antichrist is actually found by the same human writer in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I want you to notice that just by way of reminder. I believe we need to be reminded of these as we seek to understand Revelation 13. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Notice it says here, "Little children, it is the last time." He said that in the first century. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit said, "It is the last time." And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, plural, notice, whereby we know that it is the last time. They, notice, the ones who had been in the church, these many Antichrists, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, I want you to think about this. All the speculation that revolves around this character of Antichrist. There are many who say, well, he's a Muslim. There are some who will say that he's this and he's of the tribe of Dan. And there is so much speculation. If we honestly study Revelation 13, we see very clearly who the Antichrist, who the beast is. commonly referred to as the Antichrist. In fact, let me tell you, he's not going to be just at the last 7 years before Christ comes, during the so-called tribulation period. He's actually been here for hundreds of years. Did you hear what I just said? The Antichrist, the beast, has been here for hundreds of years. Notice it says here, the Antichrist were in the first century. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye, in contrast to them, have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Notice verse 22 then. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Notice also chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And notice what John says here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. Future tense. But notice then he adds this statement. This is the Holy Spirit telling us. Even now already is it in the world. The spirit of Antichrist was already in the world in the first century of Christianity. 2 John verse 7. 2 John verse 7. John writes, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and open to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Now, I'm going to emphasize this strongly because this is how strongly I believe this. To fully and truly understand Revelation 13, we have to take a look at Daniel chapter 7. In fact, if you don't look at Daniel chapter 7, you will not understand that the beast, the beastly system, is already here today, not just in a tribulation period at the very end. Notice Daniel chapter 7. In fact, let me just say it this way. This is not original with me. This is from a preacher that I listened to here recently. He made this statement that grabbed my attention. We have been so focused on looking for an antichrist during a 7-year tribulation period, we have missed the fact that the beast is already here and has been here for hundreds of years. Did you hear what I just said? I'm more and more convinced of that. In fact, I am going to say this right up front, and we'll take a look at it in Revelation 13. The beastly system is in Rome today and has been there for hundreds of years. You study this out. Notice Daniel 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And let me just say this. I want to say this again. It was Jesuits that gave us this futurist doctrine of the tribulation, the future Antichrist, and all those things. Jesuits. And can I point out something else with that? It's Jesuits that's exactly giving us what we have going on in our world right now. Jesuits. All the way from the president, Donald Trump, on down. We have been deceived so much so with this futuristic doctrine, saying that this Antichrist is coming, it's 7 years before Christ coming and all those things, that we have missed the point that the beast has already been here for hundreds of years. I want to emphasize this strongly. As I was studying this out, it's just like, why have I missed this? Notice verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. We're going to see this in Revelation chapter 13. The great sea is speaking of peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. The great sea is talking about the sea of humanity. Revelation 17:15 tells us very clearly that. Notice it says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. All right, so we have four beasts. Now let me ask you, as we look through these beastly kingdoms, was there only one king? Only one individual that ruled in each one of these kingdoms, these four kingdoms. You think of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was not the first king of Babylon. He's the one who brought the prominence of Babylon into the world. But you have Nebuchadnezzar, his father, his son, and also his grandson that we see here in this chapter, chapter 7, verse 1. Four kings in one beastly kingdom. All right, so who conquered the Babylonian kingdom? Medo-Persia. Was there just one king in Medo-Persia? You have Darius, you have Cyrus, you have all these kings. So there's many kings in one beastly kingdom. Greece, the same. And Rome. Notice it says here in verse 4 then. The first beast was like a lion. We're going to see this again in Revelation 13. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Wow. What's that all about? Again, these are the descriptive characteristics of this first kingdom. It's like a lion and had eagle's wings. What is interesting is King Nebuchadnezzar emphasized lions and eagles. Very interesting as you think about history even. And I beheld till the wings, notice, thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And notice, a man's heart was given to it. And I've preached through Daniel before, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. But again, I'm introducing this as far as Revelation 13. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. Again, we saw this in Revelation 13. And it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs and in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard. We saw reference to a leopard in Revelation 13, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Wow, that's a strange... The four heads you see in Scripture are the four kings that took over. As Alexander the Great died, you know, he conquered the known world at the time, so he dies from this drunken binge and poisoned himself, all those things. Literally, his kingdom was divided up four different ways, four different kings. That's the four heads. Again, it's very easy to understand this when you compare Scripture with Scripture. Notice, and in the night visions, behold, verse 7, a fourth beast. This is the beast we're going to see in Revelation 13. A fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. This is obviously Rome, the Roman Empire, as we understand in history. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue at the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Pause there just a moment. 10 horns. Because of the futuristic doctrines of Jesuits, we have been looking for these 10 kingdoms, these 10 nations in the future. And let me point out something here with that. So many have speculated, what's the European Union? Well, there's more than 10 nations in the European Union. So it can't be that. I've wondered over the years before studying this out, well, maybe it's the Club of Rome, as the Club of Rome has a map that they have plans for dividing up the world into 10 different regions. I'm not saying that won't happen. That's their plan. Out of Rome, by the way. But I want you to think about this. The Roman Empire was in power at the time when Revelation was written. Notice it says here. It says that it had 10 horns. That's speaking of 10 kings. What happened in 476 AD? I keep repeating this because I'm trying to retrain our thinking. What happened in 476 AD when the Roman Empire fell? Guess how many nations it was divided up into in Europe? 10. 10 nations. You don't have to look to the future to find that this has already taken place. Here's why that's important. Verse 8, it says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. What's that talking about? Three of those 10 kings resisted the papal rule after 476 AD. I believe the papal system is that little horn. And as he took power when the Roman Empire fell in 476 AD, as he came to power, there were three of these other kings that resisted and rebelled. And it says they were plucked up by the roots. So you have 10 minus 3 leaves how many? 7. You have the 7 kings that it talks about here. It said, behold, in this horn there were eyes like the eyes of a man. That's because he is a man. And a mouth speaking great things. Great things in defiance of God. Verse 9, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. Obviously, God, a reference to God in Revelation 4 and 5. Whose garment was white as snow and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. Drop down to verse 15 then. Notice Daniel wants to understand this last, this last beast. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Now, again, I want you to notice. You have four beastly kingdoms represented by a king, each individually. But you have many kings in history, you understand very clearly. You have many different kings within each of these four beasts. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout or formidable than his fellows. And I beheld this, and the same horn made war with the saints. Oh, wow, that sounds like Revelation 13, verse 7. Notice, the same little horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. You notice here, we win in the end because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, Rome, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. It was a global empire, essentially as far as that day, and notice, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom. Notice, 10 horns out of this kingdom. Out of Rome are 10 kings that shall arise. Daniel 7 is future tense. Revelation 13 is still future as from when it was written. And another shall rise after them. Notice the 10 kings out of this kingdom. And notice another little horn shall arise. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. That's exactly what I just told you, and that's history tells. In fact, you want to read about this? You read about the fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire by Gibbon. I didn't read that, but I read several statements about these 10 kingdoms. Gibbon gives us the historic details about what actually took place. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. He shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And notice, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. Now go back to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. I want you to notice something here. And in fact, as we begin studying this passage here. I want you to consider that today, if you honestly talk to most people about prophecy, their focus is on the Antichrist, not Jesus Christ. And the reason why I say that is because they're looking for this peace treaty with the nation of Israel, all of these different things. The focus is not on Jesus Christ, it's on the Antichrist. And let me just point out here that the Roman Empire was already in power when Revelation 13 was written. was recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting, too, as you compare Scripture to Scripture. Jesus himself said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs." I want you to think about how many will look at different current events and say, "Well, there's a sign of the times." That's how they're getting rich. Because people are continuing to feed on this. In reality, we've already seen this is true and has already started hundreds of years ago. Peace treaty with Israel, the mark of the beast, what is the 666? The Temple Institute plans to rebuild the Jerusalem Temple, all of these things. And many will say that all of these things have to take place in order for Jesus Christ to come back. Can you say that again? So current events in this world is holding Jesus from coming back. When God the Father said, Jesus said God the Father knows when. I want you to consider that there's speculation, so much speculation, interpreting current events as fulfillments of Bible prophecy. We have to avoid that trap. We have to avoid that trap. Now, I've mentioned this before, but many prophecy experts are millionaires. They're making a lot of money off of prophecy. And they have retirement accounts and 401ks. Think about that. If supposedly Jesus Christ is coming back in this generation since 1948, then why are they worried about their retirement and their 401k? Something's not matching up there. Now, the beast in Revelation 13 is not one person. Just like we saw back in Daniel 7, it is not one person who's ruling 7 years before Christ comes back. It is a beast. It is a kingdom. We've already seen that in Daniel 7. That's why I say Daniel 7 is very important for understanding this chapter right here. It is a beast. It is not one individual. It is a beastly kingdom. And I want you to consider as we look at Revelation 13 today. There's going to be 2 hours of this. I want you to think about this. You see that the uniting of the political and the religious power or authority. When do you get a beastly kingdom? When do you get a beastly system? When you unite the political with the religious, or sometimes called the ecclesiastical, the church, religion. You think about that. In verses 1 through 10, you see the political system. In verses 11 through 18, you see the religious system of the beast. Now, it's very interesting, in the first century, the Jewish religious system united up with the Roman political system. Who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? The Jews or the Romans? Yes. Jews and the Romans. The Jews condemned him and sent him to the secular authority, the Roman emperor, or Roman leader, I should say, governor, for execution. So you have a uniting of the Jewish religious system and the Roman political system. You also have the papacy united with the old Roman Empire in the 400s and 500s. 538 AD is when it was officially established as the Roman Holy Roman Empire and so on. Also in history, you see the monarchy of England united with the Church of England. You see example after example. The state is united with the Lutheran Church. And in fact, you think about, you do a study of persecution of our heritage. You find where the church and the state, the religion and the state systems are united together, and you find persecution. I mean, that's the way it is. Here in America, since the Johnson Amendment, we have had 501c3, incorporation of churches. That is government incorporation of the churches. So what do you have? You uniting of the church, a religion, and the state together. That's why it's getting more and more oppressive here in America to practice our religion. I want you to think about this. In the 1980s, evangelical leaders took a seat at the president's table. I mentioned that last week as an example. Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Jerry Falwell, James Dobson, Robert Jeffress. I could go on and on, give you names. These are prominent religious leaders. that are sitting at the president's table. And they are not telling him, you need to repent of your wickedness. They are uniting together with the state. That's why we're seeing so much going on in America. And it's only going to get worse until we see preachers standing up and preaching the truth of God. What's the result? It is a beastly, tyrannical system that tells us we're not supposed to meet because we're not important. We're non-essential. That came from a Jesuit-trained president. And his sidekick, Dr. Fauci, also Jesuit-trained. I want you to consider that the beast has been around for hundreds of years. And we're seeing the fruits of it here in America and around the world. Notice it says here in verse 1, Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and a beast, notice he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. All right, so let's first of all take a look at the sea. Revelation 17, verse 15, I mentioned it in Daniel. All right, so is this the Mediterranean Sea? No, this is prophetic language, and it's explained for us in the book of Revelation. Revelation 17, 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth. All right, so Revelation 17 is the religious system. Notice, our peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The sea of humanity. We saw that in Daniel 7 and verse 2. Let me read for you a couple of verses in Isaiah. The first one is Isaiah 17, verse 12. And again, I want for us to understand what we're talking about here prophetically as far as the sea. All right, so this little horn, this ruler, rises up out of the sea. As it says in Isaiah 17, verse 12, woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Also, it's very interesting, Isaiah 57 and verse 20 says this, talking about the sea. All right, so we see that this beast rises up out of the sea. Isaiah 57, 20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Revelation 13, verse 1, it says, we see the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. There's the ten kingdoms that we talked about in Daniel. And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Again, Revelation 17, verse 9. Again, we need to compare scripture to scripture so we understand what Revelation 13 is talking about here. Revelation 17, verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. God is wanting us to understand this. The problem is we have been deceived with futuristic Jesuit teaching, and so we've missed what the Bible actually says. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And I mentioned this here recently. There was a coin that shows the goddess Roma, the goddess of Rome, seated on seven hills in the first century. Rome sits on seven mountains. I want you to consider the beast, the beastly system is from Rome, that so many evangelicals are wanting to unite with. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other has not yet come. Notice there are seven kings, and many recognize this as the fallen kings of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. And then he says one is, Rome was in power at the time this was written. And notice, the other is not yet come. This is the future king who sits in the Vatican State. This is the little horn that Daniel 7 talks about. Notice it's not yet come. He did not come until the 500s and later. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. This is the Roman papacy, the Holy Roman Empire, as it was called, and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 calls him the son of perdition. Now back in Revelation 13, again, follow. We're looking at a lot of scripture on purpose here. He has 10 horns, 10 kings, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. This is a very blasphemous kingdom. Can I remind you that our former president was so blasphemous, it was hard for Christians to listen to him? Name of blasphemy. The beast is alive and well today and is growing stronger. Verse 2, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, Daniel 7:6 in Greece. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, Daniel 7:5 in Medo-Persia. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion, Daniel 7:4 in Babylon. Notice, his source of power was the dragon himself, Satan. Notice, the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Back in chapter 12 and verse 9, we see this great dragon. Revelation 12, verse 9, it says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So let me ask you, any questions who this dragon is? God makes sure we understand who the dragon is. This great dragon, he's called the old serpent, Genesis chapter 3. He's called the devil. He's called Satan. Notice, he deceives the whole world. Most people are deceived today. It says he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we have the authority, great authority, that comes from the dragon. I want you to notice there's three things that he's given here. Notice it says the dragon gave him his power and his seat. That word seat there speaks of a throne. Guess where the little horn has his throne today? In Rome, as cardinals pass and kiss his feet. This little horn is alive and well today. This beast is alive and well today, and he's been around for hundreds of years. Notice also he's given his great authority. The devil himself, the dragon, gives the beast here his great authority. Now, let me just point out something here. The United States Constitution divided up the authority in America three different ways. Obviously, the executive branch, the president and vice president, all that. And then you have the legislative branch. And you also have the judicial branch. Here's why we're having trouble in America today. Our Supreme Court justices and lower courts are acting like the legislative branch. They're not interpreting the Constitution. They're not interpreting the laws that have been established. They're establishing laws. And so we no longer have this three branches of government that are working independently and countering one another's authority. And so then we also have presidents who sign executive order after executive order after executive order, things that the legislative branch is supposed to be doing. Our problem in America is we have this beastly system that is out of check and out of control. And we have religious leaders that are fueling all of our leaders. Can I point out very clearly that we have a dragon-empowered system today, in our world today, that the dragon has given him his power and authority, throne, I should say, and great authority. Notice me, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was given an offer here by the devil himself. I think it's very interesting. And I believe the papal system, the little horn, took the devil up on his offer. I'm going to say it the way it is. That's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. I say this is the temptations of Jesus here. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So notice what the devil is offering the Son of God, all these kingdoms. I mean, that amazes me. That's pretty presumptuous when you think about it. and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. We see in Revelation 13 that they worship the dragon. Here's the condition, Jesus. If you simply fall down and worship me, I'm going to give you the glory of all these kingdoms. First of all, I want you to notice, Jesus does not say, that's not yours to give. I believe Adam lost a measure of his dominion in Genesis chapter 3 when he yielded to the devil's temptations. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I believe very strongly that the little horn of Daniel 7, the papal system, took the devil up on his offer. The Roman system is empowered by the dragon himself. Revelation 13, notice this. In verse 3, in fact, let me give you a contrast here. Romans 13, 1 talks about powers or authorities ordained of God. There's no reference here that God gave him this authority at the end of verse 2. Notice the authority came from the dragon. The very cross-reference of Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, notice figurative language, not literal, as it were, wounded to death. There are some who say that the Antichrist gets wounded in battle and he dies. And so through artificial intelligence, what you think about all the speculation that goes into this just because we don't study what Scripture actually says. You know, this future Antichrist is killed in battle and he comes back to life. And they worship him as the resurrected Lord of the earth. Notice this. We're talking about the beast, not an individual Antichrist. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. What are we talking about? In 476 AD, the Roman beast died. Think about that. This is what the Bible says. The Roman beast of Daniel 7 died. There came up a resurrection of a Roman Empire. In fact, we see in Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2 and other places, literally as soon as the Roman Empire fell, the Roman bishop came to power, and he usurped that authority. Notice again, it's wounded to death, and this is where the revived Roman Empire comes, by the way. That's the revived Roman Empire. Not some future Antichrist who establishes the European Union and all these things, this rule in Europe. The revived Roman Empire has already taken place. The revived Roman Empire is already history. This is the Holy Roman Empire that comes to power. And what I think is very interesting, as we're going to see in this passage, 1,260 days, prophetic years. Notice it says, all the world wandered after the beast. They worshiped the dragon. Notice they're worshiping the devil himself, which gave power unto the beast. We are not talking about just an individual ruler in the future. We're talking about the beast who's already in place. He's already been here. Notice they're worshiping the dragon which gave power unto the beast. All you have to do is a study of the Illuminati and all the wickedness in high places. That's exactly what it is. It's wickedness in high places. They serve the dragon. In fact, I want you to notice with me 2 Thessalonians 2 that I mentioned a moment ago. I'm beginning to think this is going to be three messages, but I did a thorough study in this because I want to make sure I understood what God is saying here. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He sits in the so-called church in Rome. The beast sits in Rome, receiving worship as God. Lord God of the earth, that's what the Pope is called. The Lord God of the earth, Holy Father. Jesus called his heavenly Father the Holy Father in John 17. These are the titles that he takes. The Vicar of Christ. I'm sorry, but the Bible says the Vicar so-called of Christ is the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus Christ himself. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth. Not a person. This is not the Holy Spirit. Notice what withholdeth. The Roman Empire. As soon as the Roman Empire fell, boom, that hindrance was gone. That withholding was gone. That he might be revealed in his time in the 500s A.D. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. As soon as the Roman Empire was taken out of the way, this little horn came to power. The papal system came to power after Rome fell. Now notice again back in Revelation 13. All right, so this head had, as it were, was wounded to death, one of the rulers. And notice his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And notice it says they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You think about the blasphemy of this. Exodus 15:11 says, who is like unto the Lord? Notice, he's exalted to be equal with the Lord. And it's very interesting, it says, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? You do a study of history on this. 1,260 years, the papal system dominated this earth, primarily out of Europe and so on. 1,260 years. That sounds like the 1,260 prophetic days. Remember I showed you last week? Numbers 14, I think it's verse 34. Remember it says after the spies rebelled, 10 of the spies rebelled and refused to go into the land of promise. Remember I showed you Numbers 14, 34. How many days were they in the promised land? How many days? 40 days. So let me ask you, did they wander in the wilderness 40 days or 40 years? God himself said, for every day, there's going to be a year. In fact, let me show you this. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6. I know some of you weren't here last week, so I'll first... What's preacher... Can I point out again before the 1800s, this is exactly what Protestant Baptists were preaching. How things have changed, huh? Ezekiel 4 and verse 6. In fact, I came across an article that included a chart. If I stood here and read that chart, it'd be a sermon in itself. Simply what this chart was, before the Protestant Reformation, during the Protestant Reformation, after the Protestant Reformation. It was simply a listing of all the Protestants and Baptists and what they thought about the papal system in Rome based on what the Bible says. It was page after page after page talking about the Antichrist, the Pope, the Roman system today. Notice Ezekiel 4 and verse 6. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40, how many, how long? 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. What is this 3.5 years talking about in Revelation 13 and other passages in Revelation? What are these 1,260 days? They are prophetic days. That means like Daniel 9, when it's talking about the 490 years, the 70 weeks, it's not literally 70 weeks, it's 490 years, Daniel 9 prophecy. We spent weeks studying this. We're not talking about a literal 3.5 years when the Antichrist comes to power and the Great Tribulation. We're talking about 1,260 years in which the papal system was dominated the earth. So where do you find that in history? I'm glad you asked. I mentioned this before, several weeks ago. In 538 AD, we see that the three kings were conquered and the Roman Pope came to power. Do you realize he was without any restraint in power until 1798 when the Pope was taken captive out of Rome? I think it was by Napoleon and his army. Figure up the dates. 1798, 538, and how many years do you have? All you have to do is look at history and you see that this has already been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. Remember my word hereafter? Jesus does not say it's only going to be at the very end. He says, I'm going to show you things that are going to be hereafter. We have been looking so longingly for this future Antichrist, we've missed the fact that the papal system, the beast, has been here for hundreds of years. We don't even see the beast as doing what they're doing today, because we're focused on this one individual clear in the future. Verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 1,260 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. It's awful when you have a president that you cannot listen to, because you wonder if he's going to blaspheme God. You know what I think is interesting? In his acceptance speech in 2016, he had one reference to God. And it was small g, God. Donald Trump had no recognition of God putting him into authority. The blasphemy that came out of that man's mouth. But evangelical leaders, this is our hero, our great Christian warrior. We have been deceived. Can I say it strongly enough? We have been deceived. The beast has been here for hundreds of years. And he's blasphemous against God. Notice to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. The beastly system is blasphemous. So why are we supporting it in these last days? And it was given to him, notice, to make war with the saints. Shutting down churches is war with the saints. Arresting pastors is war with the saints. Persecution is war with the saints. But can I point out here, for hundreds of years, the Pope and his authorities have persecuted and made war with our forefathers. It's been happening for hundreds of years. It's not going to just happen here in these last 7 years, the Great Tribulation. It's already been happening for hundreds of years. It was given unto him to make war with the saints. Chapter 12, verse 17 introduced us to this. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, true believers, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about persecution of the state of Israel. We're talking about persecution of true believers. And notice, to overcome them. How many millions lost their lives because of the papal system, the beast in Rome? As I was doing some reading, I was reminded, the Waldenses and Albigenses in France alone lost an estimated 1 million of their people because of the Pope. So why, as evangelical leaders, are they wanting to work together? I mean, you think about Billy Graham. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry, but I cannot accept the fact. And here's this supposed evangelical leader, and he's worshiping the Pope. Benny Hinn, all of these people, they're in with the Pope. We have been deceived. We have been deceived. So can we say that they're true believers that are siding with a beastly system like that? Power was given unto him, given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. It's a global church. It's a global papacy. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Notice this exception. All will worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. That's the application for us. You notice here it says, everyone is going to worship this beast except true believers. Who's written in the Lamb's book of life? Notice the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Notice believers are written in the book of life. Let's look at Revelation 20. Wrap it up here, I guess. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. These works are giving evidence that it's just to be cast into hell, lake of fire. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. This is the evidence in court. The evidence in court is given. Your works show that you're a sinner before a holy God. All of us. Not one of us can say we have never sinned. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice this statement, verse 15. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Right from the beginning, God knew that he was going to have to offer his son, the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice. Can I point out something here? If you are trusting in anything or anyone other than what Jesus Christ has already done, you're going to be at the great white throne judgment unless you repent. Trusting in what you can do. Keeping the law of God. How many of us can honestly say we have perfectly kept every command in this book? We can't. We are all sinners before a holy God. And unless we repent of our wickedness before God and trusting in ourselves, unless we repent of that and place our faith in what Jesus Christ has already done, we will be standing at the judgments, the great white throne judgment, before we are literally cast into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. By the way, there's no annihilation from that either. God created us with a never-dying soul. There's no annihilation possible. That's why the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It is a place of eternal, never-ending torment. That's why it's serious. In fact, I think it's Revelation 14 talks about the one who takes the mark of the beast that we're studying about today. They will suffer, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever and ever. Can I point out something here? Unless you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are part of the beastly system. I'm not taking the mark. I did not say that. Unless you're a part of Jesus Christ, you believed in Jesus Christ, you're part of the beastly system. There's only two systems. There's only two kingdoms. That's what this is all about. There's only two kingdoms. If you're trusting in what you can do in order to be saved, you're a part of the dark kingdom of the dragon himself, the beast. So when you die in your sin, you're going to be with the beast and the dragon forever and ever and ever. Because you've went with the beastly system. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to examine our hearts even right now. Holy Spirit of God, that you would have freedom. Lord, that there would be no distractions to steal the word of God from our minds and hearts even right now. Please work in our hearts. Can I ask you today, has there been a time, as Paul talks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, has there been a time when you have recognized your sin before a holy God? Has there been a time when you've recognized your sin before a holy God? And you've recognized that Jesus Christ, you've understood and believed that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He's already paid the price. So why would we want to work for something that Jesus Christ has already paid for? His death, burial, and resurrection, that's the gospel. It's not me keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not me getting baptized. It's not me going to church. None of that saves. None of it. We cannot keep it perfectly. And so you think about this. If we have not placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are part of the beastly system. So whose kingdom are you in today? Whose kingdom are you in today? The dragons that we just studied about? Or Jesus Christ? Paul talks about being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Whose kingdom are you in today? Can I urge you? Can I urge you strongly? If there's anything that you're trusting in, other than repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized as an infant, whatever. I mean, the Catholic Church teaches that. Anything other than Jesus Christ, do not step out these doors until you make sure that you're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Because there's never-ending judgment for the one who is trusting in this beastly system of revelation. Father, I pray that you'd help us to examine our hearts, as I said. Lord, I pray that if anyone here today is trusting in something or someone other than Jesus Christ and what he's already done, and his death, burial, and resurrection, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, the beastly system is alive and well today, and they're worshiping the dragon, the devil himself. Everyone who's not in the kingdom of God's dear Son is a part of this dark kingdom, Lord. Thank you for showing us that here today. Help us as believers in Christ to be diligent about your business as we understand that there are multitudes that are part of this system today. Help us to be faithful, I pray in Jesus' name.